Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
If you have your Bibles out, you can go ahead and turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, and we'll be there in a few short moments. I want to tell you all thank you. I know the past few weeks, my family's had a few hard times with my mom and my cousin Katie passing away a few weeks ago, and y'all have been so kind to me and generous and showing me your love and your care, and I've noticed that, and I want to tell you thank you. Thank you so much for that, and it means a lot to me. I hope to tell you individually all, and you know who you are, but I just want to thank you and hope to get to tell you that. So God bless you and thank you for that. When I was younger, we used to go to Lester Haunted Hospital. It was out in West Limestone during Halloween. And we would go there, and I would go there with my church friends, and we'd go there maybe about, they invited me about five times, but I only took them up on it about two times because I'm scared of that place. It's a really scary place, at least for me when I was younger. And when I went, we would get there. It's fall time. You can imagine Halloween. You're getting in line. I would have the people, somebody in front of me and behind me, cause so I could wiggle my way through because I didn't want anybody touching me. So I would make sure they were there. Somebody would be able to comfort me because I was going to be scared. And you would get in there to the building, and it was super dark. Super dark, so ominous. You would hear screaming in the distance, chainsaws. It was crazy. And, man, it was cold because you were just so nervous too. And you would just be scared to death, or at least I was. And you'd get up there. You'd get in. It was dark. You couldn't see a thing, some smoke usually. You didn't know when the man with the mullet was going to come out with a chainsaw and just get at you. It would happen at the end at Lester, especially. Man, I was scared. But the thing is, I'm sure you've been in some dark places in your life. You've had some people that have comforted you during those times. I had somebody to comfort me during those times. The few times I went to that hospital. You see, I'm sure you have been in dark places. It's part of life. You may be in one today mentally. You may be there, something weighing on your mind. Physically, you may be dealing with an illness or a disease as we sit here tonight. But you've had those people who have comforted you and who have been there for you. Friends, family, teachers, doctors, you name it. They gave you a shoulder to cry on, a hand to hold, an ear to listen. And you remember them because of that. You were comforted because of that. Some of those people may not be with us anymore, but yet you remember who they were because they comforted you, because they were there for you, because in that dark time you had a glimmer of hope and light for you. And I want to suggest to you that the man in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, was in a dark place. This man had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a dreaded disease. In the New Testament, this was the worst thing you could have. Okay, within the Jewish law, you were considered unclean. You see, you had to be banished to a leper colony. You couldn't be around anyone. You weren't allowed in the synagogue. This was a terrible disease. We see in verse 40, we see where a leper comes to Jesus. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. It says, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. You see, leprosy was a disease that made your body, it made your body into a mass of ulcers and decay. Your nerve endings would numb. It would eventually lead to a loss of limbs. It was a terrible thing. Your fingers would curl and gnarl, and your skin would discolor, and it would stink. It was a bad thing. Didn't want to have that. And Mark and Luke, it's important to know, it's in both accounts, in Mark and the Apostles Mark and Luke's Gospels. They don't give us much of information of his previous way of life, but I would imagine it would be something maybe like this. He might say, "I was a leper. No one touched me for 5 years. Not one person. Not my wife, not my kids, not my friends, no one. No one touched me. The things that are common to you were taken away from me, were taken from my world. I took them for granted. A shoulder to cry on, a shoulder that would bump into me, a kiss from a loved one, a hand to hold, just a simple touch. I took those things for granted, and I can't have that anymore. No one has touched me. Even the rabbis keep their distance from me. I can't even go into the synagogue. I can't even go into my own house. For 5 years, no one has touched me. No one. I'm a leper. I'm unclean. Until today." You see in verse 41 there, after the leper kneels down imploring him, "If you will, you can make me clean." It says, Jesus, moved with pity, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But the man went out, and he began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. You see, Jesus not only healed the leper, but he touched him. Something no man would do. You see, that the man could not contain himself. Jesus charged him. He told him, "Don't tell anybody, but do what Moses commanded." But the man couldn't contain himself. He had to. Imagine being touched by the Son of God after all these many years, who knows how long? 5 years, who knows? But he couldn't contain himself. Sometimes that's what it's like when we come in contact with the blood of Jesus through baptism, or something happens in our lives and we know that God was a part of it. You see that the man could not contain himself, and he told all these people, and it said Jesus could not go out. He had to go in desolate places because his fame was growing. You see, he did not make Jesus unclean. Jesus made him clean. You see, the man might have said, after all of that, he might have said, ironically, "I was unworthy of the touch of man, yet worthy of the touch of God." Let me say that again. "I was unworthy of the touch of man, yet worthy of the touch of God." Shows the love and compassion of God. How great is our God. You may have once felt like this before Jesus. You didn't have peace before Jesus, those of you here who are believers. Yet you do now. Before, we were all unclean. Yet he makes us clean. So we see that leper cleansed and brought in from the fringes of society. Turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. We see Jesus and his apostles come in to the city of Jericho. It says, "And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, it says he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on his way. Many times throughout the Gospels, Mark, for example, or whichever Gospel you're in, you might see if you have headers in your Bible, you might see Jesus heals, or Jesus cleanses, Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's Jesus having compassion, God in the flesh, having mercy on his children. It's a beautiful thing. You see so many times Jesus being moved with compassion. In this translation that I read from, it said moved with pity, with the leper. You see that even with a great crowd and distraction, Jesus still stopped and reached out to this man and told the crowd, "Well, call him." They were telling him to be silent. Jesus said, "Call him." He was like, I'll talk to him. You can imagine Jesus probably knew this man, what he was dealing with, being the Son of God. You see, the blind man, again, asked for mercy, but the crowd rebuked him, but Jesus didn't. Jesus did not rebuke him. You see that the suffering are not an inconvenience to God. God knows his people, as was talked about this morning and last week. God knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. The suffering are not an inconvenience to God. In verse 50, we saw where Bartimaeus sprang up to get to Jesus after being called by him. And Jesus says, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And well, he wants his sight recovered. He wants his blindness to go away. And then Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." You see, Jesus say this a few times with the woman with the issue of blood. He would say, "Your faith has made you well." He would say that with a few other people as well. Because it was a point Jesus was making. Every time Jesus performs a miracle, it's not to highlight his power and what he's doing, to bring attention to himself. He's highlighting the people's faith in him. That's the point. That's the point of the miracles. You see that he followed him immediately after. You see, all of us have been spiritually blinded, but he has given us sight. He has given us sight to see who we're following, who is stretching out his hand to us. And that light that comes to our dark and dimmed eyes, just like Paul, just like the light came to Paul's eyes. Paul was blinded in order so that he could see Jesus. You see, that light has come to us as believers. And we have seen the light. And we have seen who we follow. So we see a blind man cleansed and the light that comes to the dark. You see, the final example we're going to look at with this is the man with many demons, with the legion. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, if you turn your Bibles there. See, Jesus not only healed lepers. He didn't just heal the blind. He didn't just heal the lame. He didn't just raise the dead. He healed men and people with demons as well. We see this example of this man here. They had just had this crazy night. They arrive on the land and they meet this mess of a man. Jesus identifies his name and finds out who he is. And he says, "We are legion. Our name is legion and we are many." And it's this bizarre thing. It's the most bizarre thing. The apostles and Jesus had already had this crazy night. The apostles thought they were going to die out in the ocean. There's this big storm and wind, everything was going on, and Jesus was asleep. And they thought they were going to die, and they woke him up, and they had already had this crazy night, and here they get on the land, And they see this man running down the hills. It's in Luke's account, it said he was naked. And naked, that was my West Limestone coming out. we see that he lived in the tombs, as verse 3, 5 said. He lived in the tombs. He broke out of his chains. He screamed constantly. It said he beat himself. So you can imagine the apostles getting in off and land after this long night. And they see this naked man running down, screaming, just beat up looking. It said, they probably were saying, Jesus, I thought we were going on the other side of this land, not right here. What's going on? So they see this mess of a man. It says later on, it says that Jesus cleanses the man with the legion. Jesus cleanses this crazy mess of a man. You see, Jesus' compassion is greater than our complications. Jesus' compassion is greater than our complications. There's so many times that we go through so much. We don't have demons today, obviously. Some people might say otherwise. That's not a thing. We do, and as Paul says in Ephesians, there are rulers and principalities and spiritual warfare going on where we can't see. Yet people, I'm sure you know of, struggle with that darkness, with the things that are, the demons that are behind the scenes, that Satan tempting you and telling you you're not good enough. Yet Jesus' compassion is greater than that. He knows your suffering. You see, when Jesus meets a mess, he doesn't walk away. You see this so many times throughout the Bible. Jesus never walks away. It's likely that man told the thousands of people about Jesus. In verse 20, it said he went about among the villages. Wrong verse right there. It says that he went about and he told the people about that. It's likely that the people found out about what had happened to him. They knew what was going on with this man. They saw that he was changed and sitting in his right mind now. And you see, it's important to note, too, that this man didn't need studies to proclaim Jesus' mercy. He had this happen to him. Jesus told him to proclaim what had happened to him. He didn't need a series of studies. He saw the Father's mercy. We see Jesus goes to great lengths to save us, as he did with this man. In John chapter 21, in verse 25, we see that where John tells us there's many more things that Jesus did. There's many more things that Jesus did where if every one of them were to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. We have a picture of some of the things Jesus did, and they were amazing. It shows his true power. And we see the compassion of Jesus, the compassion of God. Jesus would then, he loved his own to the end. He was crucified and then raised up into heaven. And he told his apostles what they need to do. The Great Commission as we know it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And they did that. They carried it out. And that message is brought to us here today. So you might ask, why did I tell you all those stories? Well, it's to tell you that there is a God who can cleanse you. There is a God who is willing to cleanse you. You see, we are cleansed and brought from the fringes just like the leper was. Matthew 11, verse 5, if you turn there. Matthew 11, verse 5. Matthew writes and he says of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, and Jesus answered them. And he says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. You see, the love of God, it should change people. The love of God, it transforms people. And it should transform you and me. From Jesus' love and what he has proclaimed to us, what we know from his word, it should change us. You see, God cleanses us when we accept His gift, and we accept His gift of grace. And you might ask, well, how? Well, Peter tells the people on the day of Pentecost, in the first gospel sermon, he tells them, after they ask, men and brethren, what shall we do? After they realize that they had crucified the Son of God and killed Him. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what you have to do. Jesus wants you into His family. He wants to bring you in. This is why He came, to bring us back into fellowship with Him. He wants you. He wants to bring you from the outcast of society, from the fringes of society, no matter who we are. See, we're no longer the same after God has cleansed us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. We'll be there for the next two verses. Hebrews 10 and verse 22. It says, the Hebrew writer says, he says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And he goes on to say, let us stir up one another with good works. You see, that's what God has done for us. Again, we're no longer the same after God's cleansed us. In a chapter or two back, we see we see in Hebrews 13, verse 20, that God equips us for every good work. Once we were baptized and put Him on in baptism, you see, He equips us to do these good things, to show that change in us. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Paul writes and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And note what he says here. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're not to be conformed to this world. Once we put off that old man and that old life, it's gone. It's done away with. You know, so many times it's so easy for the devil to creep back into us and in our minds and to think, well, you're still living that old life. We may be. Sometimes he reminds us of that old life. And he wants to drag us back into that. But Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. That old man, that old woman is dead. You're brought into the family of God. He wants you there. You see, sin and death no longer has dominion. No longer has dominion over us. Remember, that was put to death when you confessed in Jesus' name that He was the Son of God and you were baptized. Knowing that, having confidence in that, as Paul did. See, in the second point, I have three points I want to give you. This is the second point. Is that we are cleansed and given a spirit of light. We're cleansed and given a spirit of light. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, we see here where Paul writes to Titus and he says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. It's pretty sad. We see it says, we once were. We ourselves were once. Then Paul does it in classic Paul fashion. He says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a privilege that is, to be an heir to that eternal life. To be a part of on the throne of God with God, to be there with Him one day. We see we used to be that. As believers, it's what you used to be. And he says, but this is what we are now. And because of that, you have joy and peace knowing that. Philippians 4, verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse 7, it says, Paul writes to the church of Philippi, and he says, And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because of that, because you've been cleansed and given a spirit of light, you have the joy and the peace that surpasses all understanding. And how great of a thing that is. The third point and the final point is that we are cleansed and evil is destroyed by faith. We're cleansed and evil is destroyed by our faith in Jesus Christ. You see that in with the last point as well. Since we've been cleansed, since we have put our faith in Jesus, we are different. We are transformed. And it makes people ask, Susie, what's going on? You're different. Why are you acting this way? What's going on? Or Joe Bob, why are you this way? What's going on? You're just a changed man. And we tell them, well, it's no longer I who live. That person's dead. Spiritually, that person is dead. That person is done away with. I have died with Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, I am transformed. I am no longer the same person. I don't go up to Joe's Mart to get a drink anymore. I am here. I am at church. I go to church. Here is where I go. You come with me. Because Jesus has saved me. And he wants to save you too. And he wants to cleanse you. You see, just like the man with the demons, the man with legion, once we are baptized and we believe and have faith in Jesus, we are cleansed and evil has been destroyed by our faith in Jesus. You don't have to live in your uncleanness and your sickness anymore. You don't have to live in that. Suffering, it is a reality. But you don't have to live in that. Jesus said, he told his apostles, he said, I came so that, when he's talking about him being the good shepherd, he said, I came so that you all can have life abundantly. Saying, I am the good shepherd. He wants us to have life abundantly and have the hope of eternal life. You don't have to walk that way anymore. See, all the healed people had one thing in common, and that was their faith. I had a little typo on there. That's okay. It was their faith. That was the one thing they had in common. Again, Jesus was highlighting that. And the same with us. Because of our faith, Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, we're no longer the same. We're no longer the same person we were once we put our faith in Jesus. See that no matter poor or rich, Jew or Greek, no matter your background, white, black, red, or white, whatever you want to call it, no matter who you are, whether you're put together or whether you're suffering and you're not put together, it doesn't matter. Jesus wants to cleanse you. Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants to bring you into the family of God. He wants you to be with him. We are nothing without Jesus. Without his cleansing grace and his mercy and the blood that atones for our sins, we are nothing. We are nothing. And thank goodness that he did that. We should be so thankful for his sacrifice and how much compassion he had on us, even when we were undeserving. We see that many here today of you who are believers, you have the chance to show people in your life Jesus who has transformed you. Many of you are doing that. You are ministering to others and having the same compassion that Jesus had, and you're striving to do that. And I urge you and exhort you to keep on doing that. It's so easy to be discouraged in the fight of faith, in that race of faith. But I encourage you to keep on doing that. Because just as we talked about in the beginning of the sermon, people remember, you know, you and me both remember who comforted us. I guarantee you that, whether they're still here or not, we remember that. So be that for others. Be that person who reaches out to others as Jesus did, who wants to cleanse others through the power of Jesus Christ. And you see, there's a person who died in your place. Jesus Christ died in your place, yours and mine place. He lowered himself to this world. He died an unattractive death on the cross. You can imagine how terrible of a sight that would have been. Like the leper was likely bloody, the leper was. Jesus was beaten, scourged. He was crucified for me and you. For you and I. And we have hope because of him. And it's because of his compassion. Maybe you need to be cleansed by God tonight. Maybe you realize that you are unclean like the leper and you want to be cleansed by God. Maybe you realize that you have been walking blindly without God and that you don't have the spiritual vision that you need, but now you know how to be saved. Or maybe, like the demons, You realize that you need the touching hands and the comforting hands of Jesus Christ. Whatever it may be, know that Jesus is willing to cleanse you. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." If you want to be cleansed tonight, Jesus can do that for you. Won't you do that tonight? If we can do anything to help you, please come as we stand and sing.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening and we hope to see you in person soon.